There's a curious figure wandering the modern world. He's fully grown from a legal standpoint. He has opinions, preferences, and an internet connection. He may even have a job mortgage and a strongly worded bio. But the one thing he does not have, despite repeated assurances, is adulthood. He's arrived, you see, but the adult has not. This person is easily identified. He's forever finding himself, though he has been missing for decades. He speaks passionately about freedom, but becomes offended the moment it requires discipline. He demands change, provided someone else supplies the labor, the risk, and the patience. He's fluent in critique and illiterate in construction. This adult who never arrived treats identity like a wardrobe. Today's self can be discarded tomorrow, preferably after announcing the change loudly and blaming the previous version for all personal discomfort. Roots are suspicious. Continuity is oppressive. Inheritance, well, that's a trick played by the dead upon the living. And yet somehow, he expects to feel grounded. He has confused flexibility with depth, novelty with progress, and reinvention with courage. He is forever beginning anew because he has never endured long enough to finish becoming someone. Tradition, to him, is an inconvenience invented by people who lack imagination. He does not ask what problems it solved. He only knows that it limits him. Rules, those are arbitrary. Customs, super outdated. Wisdom is merely prejudice with a beard. He tears down, happily, load-bearing walls with the confidence of someone who has never watched a ceiling collapse. When the structure fails, he does not rebuild. He organizes a support group and demands a committee. Responsibility, he insists, is a social construct. Consequences are unfair. Expectations, violence, and accountability, that's a personal attack. He wishes to be taken seriously without being reliable, respected without being useful, and heard without having earned anyone's trust. He wants the dignity of adulthood without the weight of it, rather like demanding a medal for a race he found emotionally taxing to attend. This adult, who never arrived, speaks constantly. He has discovered that expression feels like action. Indignation feels like virtue. He confuses volume with courage and visibility with values. Silence, he believes, is complicity, except when it comes time to listen. He is certain that if he could just explain himself one more time, reality would finally concede. But reality remains unmoved. Strength makes him uneasy, not cruelty. He abhors that. But strength that is quiet, disciplined, and durable. He distrusts anyone who can endure discomfort without announcing it, anyone who can carry responsibility without applause, anyone who builds slowly while others complain quickly. Such people remind him, unfairly, of something he postponed becoming. He believes society is broken because it does not reflect him. He has never considered that society might be strained by millions who refuse to grow up simultaneously. He demands a world that adapts endlessly to his feelings while offering nothing sturdy in return. High trust, he insists, should be provided universally, regardless of behavior. He does not understand why no one hands him the keys. The tragedy is not that this adult who never arrived is malicious. He's not. He's mostly earnest. The tragedy is that he never realized adulthood is not granted by age, language, or outrage, but earned through restraint, responsibility, and the long, unglamorous work of becoming useful to something beyond oneself. And so he stands in the doorway of life, forever declaring his independence, never noticing that independence was not the destination. It was the test. Somewhere else. Rarely online, never trending. Another kind of person is at work. This one does not scream. He builds. He keeps his word. He preserves what works and improves what doesn't. He bears weight. Others lean on him, not because he demanded it, but because they can. He did not arrive loudly. He arrived ready. And that inconveniently made all the difference. The great thinker, psychologist Carl Jung would say that most people never psychologically mature. They get older, they accumulate preferences, and they gather grievances, but they never complete the movement from dependence to responsibility to full integration. So what looks like burn it all down ideology is often just adolescence with better vocabulary. The adolescent impulse is simple. Something feels wrong, someone else must be responsible, so let's tear it down and start over. There's no cost to it, there's no continuity, and there's nothing to inherit. That works at age 17, but it becomes a catastrophe at age 37. Individuation, by contrast, is not rebellion against the world. It's taking responsibility for your place within it. So we need strength before speech, and it's an inversion that modern culture refuses to accept. You do not earn a voice by having an opinion. You earn a voice by becoming competent, grounded, and trustworthy. A high trust society is not built by louder speech, it's built by reliable individuals. Jung believed the greatest danger to society wasn't tyranny, it was unintegrated individuals projecting their chaos outward. And that looks like rage without responsibility, moral certainty without self-mastery, identity without any contribution. In other words, just screaming into the void. It's a child versus an adult. A child asks, why should I have to? Who made this rule? Why can't it be different? Why should I sacrifice anything? An adult asks, what's required of me? What must be preserved? What is worth bearing? What would make me reliable to others? One posture consumes society and the other sustains it. This is why burning everything down feels intoxicating. It absolves the individual of the burden of becoming someone capable of building. Individuation strengthens society indirectly. The subtlety that most people miss is that individuation is not a social project. It's a personal one with massive social consequences. The individuated person needs less validation. They project less resentment. They lie less, especially to themselves. They keep their word. They resist ideological possession, and they can disagree without dehumanizing. High trust societies are not engineered. They emerge when enough individuals do this work quietly. We need to mind our own business. Stop virtue signaling. Increase your personal agency. Stop outsourcing meaning to institutions or mobs. Tradition isn't a cage, it's a load-bearing structure. Tradition exists because they solve problems that we've forgotten how to articulate. Burning them down without understanding them is not courage, it's intellectual impatience. A mature individual doesn't inherit tradition blindly, but neither do they discard it reflexively. They ask, what problem is this solving? What remains true? What must be adapted rather than destroyed? This is adult grown-up thinking. So many people never mature because comfort delays responsibility. Infantilizing systems reward grievance, victimhood replaces virtue, and meaning is outsourced to outrage. Initiation rites have, for the most part, vanished. Without friction, people don't harden into strength. Without responsibility, they don't individuate. And without individuation, they become dangerous in groups. We need to become grounded, capable, and integrated individuals. That your mere presence stabilizes whatever room you're in. It's not flashy. It's not viral. It's not loud. It's indispensable. That is individuation as civic virtue, not self-expression. And yeah, many people are never going to grapple with this because it demands humility, patience, restraint, endurance, long horizons, all, unfortunately, profoundly unsexy virtues today. But not for you, brothers, not for you, sisters. You understand that doing your part means doing your best.